There, this is the romance program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got one story coming up this hour I hope you'll enjoy. It's from True Love Magazine called Sold in a Poker Game. Here's the story. Great legs, a masculine, unfamiliar voice murmured near my ear. I jerked around, my eyes wide and startled. One moment I was engrossed in picking out two of the best steaks in the meat counter, and the next I was facing a flattering, handsome stranger. The town where I live is small, so I knew immediately who the stranger was. Everyone knows. They knew from the moment the sheriff decided to hire someone from out of town. I smiled. "You must be the new deputy, Leon Garrett." I held out my hand and then blushed as I realized I was still holding a package of ground beef. Shoving it into the basket, I offered my hand again. His grip was strong and warm, sending a startling tingle along my arm and into my belly. His smile revealed slightly crooked but extremely white teeth. "His own," I thought. Absurdly pleased by the discovery, I managed, by frequent visits to the dentist and diligent brushing, to save my own. But my husband, Mitch, wears false teeth at 45. He hates it, and he swore the kids and me to secrecy, as if everyone didn't know anyway. Like I said, our town is small. "And you must be..." His grinned, widened in amusement. "I don't have a clue. It's a bit disconcerting to be known and to not know anyone." "A college man," I thought, judging by his speech. "I'm an avid reader and know what disconcerting means, but I would bet my household money that half the people in town don't. We don't have much that the residents of Waldenburg, Mississippi are dumb, just not into using words they can't spell. People who are tend to be labeled a snob, or in the case of a man, prissy." I smiled, imagining my plain talking husband's reaction when he meets Leon Garrett for the first time. My smile grew wider when I realized I had a hair appointment the next morning. By then, the name Leon Garrett would be on the lips of every gossiping woman in town. The hair dryers would be steaming. "I'm Renee Richards," I said. "Nice legs and a nice smile, Renee." Leon Garrett's brow lifted. He was obviously flirting, although I know he noticed my wedding rings. I wondered if he also noticed that I'm about 10 years his senior. Blushing like a teenager, I said, "You know how to make an old woman feel good." I couldn't tell if his surprised expression mocked me or not. "You're not old. Nobody with legs like yours can be a day over 30. Over his shoulder, I caught sight of Katie, the cashier, watching me with unmistakable curiosity. I began to feel slightly uneasy with the conversation. "I'm 46. It never pained me to tell my age before, but suddenly it did, and that bothered me too. I love my husband and was never unfaithful to him. So what was I doing flirting with a stranger? And was I flirting? No, I thought, deciding to be fair to myself. He is flirting. My only crime was in letting him. But, damn it, it felt good. "I don't believe you. Would you like to see my driver's license, deputy?" I joked, determined to steer the conversation away from my legs and my teeth. Well, I'd better get back to my shopping. Mitch will be expecting his dinner. Mitch? I flashed my rings beneath his nose. My husband. Hint, hint. He didn't take it. I should have known you were taken. He drawled, his gaze boldly gliding up and down my body. All the pretty ones are. Not really, I said, truly becoming flustered. There are lots of young single women in this town. So you're not married? I told myself the moment the question was out that I was merely gathering food for gossip. The young single woman at the beauty parlor the next day would be delighted to know his marital status. Not yet, but I'm looking. His look suggested he was looking in the wrong direction. I can't deny that I was flattered, but I was also uncomfortable. If he were doing a little harmless teasing, surely he would have given up the game by then. If Mitch found out, he would immediately dislike the guy. Since Mitch is a man with many friends, it wouldn't be a good start for Leon, not in a town this small. The residents of Waldenburg stick together. I hoped that Leon Garrett wouldn't find out the hard way. Well, it was nice to meet you, Leon. I hope you like living in Waldenburg. The folks here are great, as I'm sure you'll find out. I turned away, focusing all of my attention on the selection of steaks that Barry the butcher had displayed with his usual flair. So determined that the conversation with flirty Leon was at an end, I jumped when he spoke again. I thought he was gone, and I told myself sternly, I hoped he was gone. So what does this lucky Mitch do for a living? He asked, moving so close that his belt brushed my hip. With a nervous gasp, I stepped away, breaking the alarming contact. He has his own freight business. To cover my flustered state, I added jokingly, but he makes his real money gambling. Although I said this with poker-faced seriousness, Leon somehow knew I was kidding. Well, in that case, I'll have to keep a close eye on Mitch. I heard what he didn't say. Wouldn't be Mitch he'd be keeping a close eye on. Everything I said seemed to land me in hot water. Leon Garrett, I realized, has a talent for twisting my words to suit him. I decided it was time to be blunt. Hopefully, I didn't have to get rude. Mr. Garrett, Leon, he insisted with that startling smile. Leon, I said for the sake of argument, you'll find out soon enough that anything you do in this town is everyone's business, and right now we're being watched. I groaned as he turned around and surveyed the store. His gaze narrowed and thoughtful, his smile gone. I had a feeling that whoever saw that look would immediately find someone else to watch, at least until he turned back around. I had the advantage of seeing Katie over the shoulder and knew the moment she resumed her unabashed spying. Katie's brother is a good friend of Mitch's, so I had good reason to worry. Having a brief, polite conversation with a newcomer isn't a crime, but holding a long, intimate-looking conversation with one is another thing altogether. Leon's smile didn't return. He gave me a hard look. Are you afraid of your husband, Renee? I laughed at his absurd question, a question I thought was a bit on the personal side, coming from someone I just met. Of course not. Whatever gave you that idea? You did. For a moment, I was speechless. Finally, I laughed again, but even I heard the nervousness in the sound. Look, Leon, I'm not sure how we got on this track, but I really do have to get going. Mitch works hard, so I like to have his dinner ready when he gets home. He's a lucky man. You said that already. When he didn't leave, I realized with regret that he was forcing me to get rude. Look, if I gave you the impression that I was coming on to you, I'm sorry. I'm a happily married woman. He held up his hands, his brown eyes crinkling as his smile returned. Okay, okay, I can take a hint. That hot gaze of his slid over me again, warming me in places that had no business getting warm. But if you ever change your mind, leaving the offer hanging in the air, he turned and sauntered away. I didn't realize I was staring at his amazingly firm-looking butt until I heard Katie giggle. Face hot, I jerked my gaze away and pretended a great interest in the steaks for the third time. I quickly grabbed two thick New York strips and pitched them into the basket. That's the wonderful thing about your kids growing up and moving out, I thought, determined to get my mind out of the gutter. Mitch and I can now eat pretty much what we want. Gone are the days when we had to make a pound of hamburger to feed two adults and four kids. I still cook for them on Sundays, along with my two grandchildren, something I belatedly realized. I didn't mention to flirty Leon, the other 6 days of the week are mine and Mitch's, and we are enjoying the heck out of them. We love our kids and enjoyed raising them, but now we are enjoying each other and the blessed quiet. Finally relaxing, I pushed the grocery cart to the checkout and began to empty the contents of the basket onto the counter. He's a hunk, Katie whispered loudly. What did he say to you? Is he married? With an inward groan, I met Katie's avid gaze. Her big baby blues were huge and glittering with interest. She popped her gum continuously, despite the constant complaints from her customers. She has been a checker at Finley's Grocery for 10 years and knows everyone and everyone's business. She is, quite frankly, one of the leading gossips in town. I managed a cool smile. If I told you then, I wouldn't have anything to talk about at the beauty parlor in the morning, because everyone would already know. My smile turned smug, so I guess you'll just have to wait. Katie popped her gum, shrugging carelessly. I'll find out for myself. Her expression turned sly. I just hope Mitch doesn't find out how friendly he got with his wife. Slamming the steaks onto the counter with unnecessary force, I said, if he does, then I'll know who told the lie. Who do you think he'll believe? Up until that moment, I liked Katie, but I don't like to be threatened, and she most definitely threatened me. Staring at her until she looked away, I added in a milder voice, besides, I'm at least 10 years older than he is. He didn't seem to notice, Katie blurted out. She clamped a hand over her mouth, her eyes wide and apologetic. Sorry, Renee, sometimes I get carried away. Apology accepted. Now get me checked out. Mitch's dinner is going to be late already. He'd probably beat me 6 ways to Sunday. Katie giggled, and the sound reminded me of how young she is. I felt slightly ashamed, thinking I might have been too hard on her. Yeah, right, she said, rolling her eyes. Mitch is so mean, he scares me to death. I had to smile at her dramatics. Yeah, me too. Do you care if we play poker here tonight? Mitch asked me, as I cleared the table of our dinner dishes. It wasn't Mitch's night to host the game, but I knew that Kinsley's wife, Reva, just had minor breast surgery to remove a benign cyst. "Sure, babe, you'd better run to the store and stock up on beer and chips, though." I stacked the last dish in the dishwasher and then added, "And pick me up a bottle of pina colada mix, will you? I might as well have a few drinks if I'm going to be stuck in our bedroom all night." When the guys play poker, I stay out of sight. It makes them feel as if they have the house to themselves. Without me around, they don't have to watch their language and worry about getting too loud. Mitch left to make a beer and snack run, and I finished cleaning the kitchen, then began setting the table up in the dining room for poker, bringing out the poker chips, cards, and adding extra chairs from the kitchen. We married young when Mitch was 17 and I was 16. Our parents tried to talk us out of getting married, but like most teenagers, we didn't listen. We were convinced that we met our soulmates and didn't see any reason to waste time. Turns out we were right, and don't think I don't remind my mother every chance I get. Right away, we started our family, and by the time I was 23, we had 4 kids, 3 boys and 1 girl. Mitch owned his own freight business and did pretty well most of the time. I worked until our second child. By that time, Mitch and I decided it was useless for me to work, give half my paycheck to a daycare center, and come home too tired to move. He's good at helping, but he often worked long hours, and sometimes he was out on the road for days before he made it home. So I quit working at the shoe factory and became a full-time wife and mother. I loved it. The kids loved it. And Mitch loved coming home to a clean house and a home-cooked meal. We had to cut a lot of corners, but we made it okay. The toughest times were in the winter when Mitch's freight business slowed down. It didn't take us long to get smart and save money during the summer get us by when that happened again. But our hard work paid off. We now own our own modest home, a fishing boat, a camper, and 10 acres of land surrounding our house. 2 years ago, Mitch surprised me with a beautiful chestnut mare. I always wanted a horse, and now I have one. Every morning I get up at 6 o'clock to ride Beauty. It's the best gift Mitch ever gave me. On Sundays after dinner, my granddaughters Isabel and Taylor take turns riding Beauty. 3 of my grown children are married with wonderful jobs. My youngest son is in college, studying to become a computer analyst. I was so happy, it scared me. Everything was rosy, and I kept waiting for the proverbial shoe to fall. Nobody, I thought, could be this lucky forever. Most of the time, I could reason my fears away. "Lucy, I'm home," Mitch called cheerfully. My log down memory lane came to an end as Mitch returned with his goodies, calling out in a bad imitation of Ricky Ricardo from I Love Lucy. I never told him that he sucks at impressions. What he doesn't know can't hurt him, I decided. Mitch spotted a dining room table as he passed the doorway leading into the kitchen. "Wow, you've got the table set up and everything." My brows lifted at the huge bottle of tequila he purchased. Mitch is a beer drinker, and so are most of his buddies. Planning to get plastered tonight? I teased. It wasn't difficult to imagine the four of them sitting around the table challenging each other with shots of tequila. At least one of them would wind up puking in the toilet before the night was over. Mitch shot me a sheepish smile. Now, oh, new guy joining us tonight. He said he likes tequila. He wiggled his eyebrows. You know that none of us are about to admit that we can't hold our liquor. But you can't, darling, I pointed out gently. Yeah, Mitch admitted without embarrassment, but he doesn't know that. Suddenly, I realized the implication of what he said. My heart jumped. Are you talking about the new deputy? I hoped I sounded casual. Mitch didn't seem to find anything suspicious in my voice. Thank God. Yeah, Leon Garrett. I believe he's from Chicago. Before I could open my mouth, Mitch rolled his eyes and continued, as if reciting the paper. No, he's not married, and yes, he's good looking. I mean, I don't think so, he added with comical haste. But Tina down at the drugstore seems to think he is, and Susan at Huck's. Some people might have been surprised by how fast word gets around. I wasn't, and I wasn't about to confess that I already knew more about Leon than Mitch could tell me. I let him talk, keeping busy drying the dishes and putting them away so that he wouldn't notice how nervous I suddenly became. Leon Garrett was coming to play poker at my house. I suddenly realized that Leon Garrett also lied by omission. He obviously already met Mitch before he met me. Not that I give a dang what he looks like, Mitch said. Just thought I'd give you a head start on the gossip. Got a hair appointment in the morning, don't ya? I nodded. He continued. Haven't found out yet why he left Chicago to come to this rinky-dink town, but I figure I'll know before the night is over. He paused, looking in one cabinet after another. Frustrated, he turned to me. Okay, I give up. Where's that set of Cardinals shot glasses I got for Christmas last year? That was 3 years ago, Mitch. I reached out and opened a cabinet. He'd already searched. Look again. I looked in that one. Look again. It's a male thing, darling. They're sitting right in front of your nose. Without acknowledging his mistake, Mitch began lining up shot glasses along the counter. When he saw me watching him, he flushed. Well, he's kind of prissy, if you know what I mean. I did know, and I couldn't resist smiling at Mitch's description. I knew Leon would get that label, taking words that most people around town only hear on television. We're going to have to break him in, show him how to be a manly man, Mitch added, genuinely serious. By the time we get through with him, he'll be begging us to let him drink a brew. My impression of Leon Garrett didn't match Mitch's impression. I didn't think Leon would be begging anyone to do anything, not in this lifetime, at least. Of course, that's after we relieve the man of his money. I leaned against the counter and crossed my arms. How are you so sure that that's going to happen? Mitch snorted with the smug arrogance of his sex. Honey, how long have I been playing poker? About 30 years, give or take a few. And how often do I lose? He persisted. Not often. Mitch stepped in front of me, lifted my arms, and dropped them around his neck. He pressed against me. I gazed in his still, handsome, boyish face. His eyes are sky blue, while mine are hazel. All four of our kids have blue eyes and his jolly disposition. Yes, I'm indeed lucky. I ran my fingers through his thinning hair as I asked, Does the new deputy know that you guys play for real money? I'm sure Chris told him. Chris is the sheriff and one of Mitch's regular poker buddies. If he gets all prissy on us, Chris, we'll rake him over the coals. Yeah, Chris is good at that. I could feel Mitch getting aroused, and I knew that if I didn't move, we'd end up in the bedroom, and there wasn't time. I think I'm going for a ride before it gets dark. When Mitch looked comically dismayed, I chuckled. Don't worry, I'll go straight to our room when I get back. Just pretend I'm not here. His hand crept up my blue jean-covered thigh. But don't you want to and have the guys tease me about how long it takes us to answer the door? I shook my head. I don't think so. An image of Leon's hot brown eyes came to mind. Just the thought of Leon seeing me all flushed and messed from lovemaking made my stomach quiver. A man like him would know. Yes, he would definitely know. I quickly moved out of Mitch's arms before I gave myself away. You'd better get in the shower. You'll know Bert always gets here early, hoping to find some leftovers. Mitch let me go reluctantly. I feel sorry for the guy. He's been to the emergency room twice this year because of food poisoning. I paused at the back door, grinning back at Mitch. Don't feel sorry for him, Mitch. From what I hear, Julie has other talents that make up for her lack of cooking skills. I sucked my jaws together, blushing even as I performed the vulgar action. I laughed at Mitch's stunned, envious expression. Really? He asked in a squeaky voice. Really? Mitch clasped his hand to his heart in mock injury. Honey, you have nothing to worry about. I've got all the women I can handle right here at home. Besides, I like my women with teeth. The better to bite you with. I flung over my shoulder as I let myself out through the back door. It's a standing joke between us, an intimate memory of our first disastrous venture into oral sex during our honeymoon. Mitch claims he still carries scars in the form of teeth marks. He's lying, of course. I'm not that bad. I've definitely improved my technique since then. If he wasn't too drunk to participate, I would refresh Mitch's memory that night. It was growing dark by the time I finished brushing Beauty down and headed to the house. I let myself in through the back door into the kitchen, intending to fix myself a pitcher of piña colada and sneak past the rowdy poker players in the dining room. The week before, I bought the movie Deuce Bigelow, and I was looking forward to watching it on the television set we have in our room after I took a quick shower. I did not want to run into flirty Leon and risk him telling everyone that we already met. Mitch would wonder why I didn't mention it. Heck, I should be asking myself the same question. Only I didn't want to. I was afraid of the answer. For once, I was glad for the noise the guys were making. It covered the sound of the blender so that I was able to make my pitcher of drink without interfering with the poker game. I knew that if they had any idea I was within hearing distance, they would immediately become quiet. Women love their hair appointments for the opportunity to talk, and I know that men love their poker games for the same reason. They gossip, they joke, they tell lies upon lies to each other. Now I know how you keep those legs in shape, a now familiar voice drawled directly from behind. I froze In the act of gathering up the blender pitcher, my heart began to pound with a mixture of excitement and alarm. Leon Garrett must have seen me dart past the doorway. Was he watching me? He must have been, and Mitch must have told him. I went riding, but what did Leon tell Mitch? I wondered. My palms began to sweat. I couldn't just stand there holding a melting pitcher of drinks with my back to him. I had to do something. Taking a deep breath to steady my nerves, I painted a distant, polite smile on my face and turned. I wore a sports bra beneath my blouse to keep my breasts from bouncing around while I was riding, and I was self-consciously aware that my nipples were visible through the thin covering. If you're looking for the beer, I said, it's in the fridge. If you're looking for the tequila, it's right there on the counter. The chips are Renee. I stopped babbling and stared at him like a frightened rabbit. I knew I had nothing to fear. I was in my own house, and my husband was sitting a few yards away in the next room. But I felt threatened, not physically, but emotionally. I didn't want to feel flattered or attracted to this man, but I felt both. I'm 46, for goodness sake. I couldn't fathom why this young, good-looking man, out of all the women in Waldenburg, targeted me. He walked closer, and I backed away until I came up against the counter. I didn't care if he knew that I was afraid of him. But flirty Leon apparently had no quarrel with his conscience. I think I'm going to like living in Waldenburg, he said, keeping his voice low. Not that anyone but me could have heard him over the racket the players were making in the dining room. Don't stay on my account, I said, lifting my chin. In fact, I would appreciate it if you would stop stalking me. He laughed. You like it, admit it. No, I don't. A part of me did, yes, but a bigger part of me didn't. Besides, he really was beginning to scare me. And I'd also like to remind you that you're in my home and that my husband is in the next room. So is the sheriff, I recalled, and the thought calmed me. I suddenly felt silly. Leon wasn't likely to push himself on me with his boss and my husband within shouting distance. Leon smiled. I know, that's part of the temptation, isn't it? No, I swallowed hard. Somehow Leon got the wrong impression and I had to fix it. I don't know how to make this any plainer, Leon. I'm very, very happily married, and I have no interest in having an affair with anyone. There wasn't a doubt in my mind that he didn't believe me. He kept on smiling, a smug, knowing gleam in his eyes. Whatever you say, Renee. When he grabbed the bottle of tequila and left the room, I sagged against the counter. My knees were weak, still clutching my pitcher of piña colada, which I suddenly realized I needed desperately. I circled around the dining room, through the living room, and into our bedroom. I caught myself in the act of locking the door behind me and then reluctantly left it unlocked. If Mitch popped in to check on me, he'd wonder why I locked the door. I was being ridiculously paranoid. Leon wouldn't dare come after me in my own bedroom. He's bold, but he isn't stupid, or is he? Chewing on my bottom lip, I eyed the door and then sighed and turned away. Of course he wouldn't. I was letting my imagination run away with me. I took a quick shower, slipped into my old terry cloth robe, and popped the movie into the VCR. I poured a drink and made myself comfortable on the bed. 3 pina coladas later, I was feeling pretty mellow. The movie was over. I lay there listening to the muffled laughter coming from the dining room. They were still at it, I realized, and apparently having a good time. I wondered if Mitch was winning and if Leon Garrett was drunk on tequila. More than a little tipsy, I drifted off to sleep. My last thought was that I hoped Mitch would wake me when he came to bed and that he wasn't too drunk to make love. I awoke sometime later. I don't know how long I was asleep. When Mitch came to bed, I turned out the lights. Mitch struggling to take his clothes off in the dark, I lay there half awake, smiling, because I suspected Leon Garrett wasn't the only one who knocked back a few tequilas. The guys probably showed off in front of the new guy. "Mitch, you drunk?" I asked in a sleepy whisper. Instead of answering, he grunted and stumbled into the nightstand beside the bed. I giggled, scooting over to make room. He landed ungracefully beside me. He reeked of tequila. My reaction to him was automatic, practically a habit over the years. I reached my hand beneath the covers. Normally, Mitch has problems performing when he's had too much to drink. Then it hit me, belatedly, I suppose, because I was half asleep and still tipsy. He wasn't my husband. My husband is average. This man was more than blessed in that department. For a long, stunned moment, I froze that way, clutching him, clutching someone, rather than my husband in the most intimate way. Then I jerked my hand away, jumping from the bed as if someone jabbed me with a cattle prod. I stood there shaking, debating whether to scream or just run. Then Leon Garrett spoke, his words slightly slurred. "Ah, honey, don't be that way. I won you fair and square." Won me? I didn't have the slightest idea what he meant. My voice shook with shock and fury. "Get out! Get out of my bed and get out of my house." Since I was wearing a short summer nightgown, I snatched up my robe. I could just make out Leon's shape on the bed. He didn't move. "I'm warning you, Leon. I'm going to count to three and then I'm going to scream for Mitch. He won't hear you." I inhaled sharply at his smug response. Raw fear clutched at my throat, making my voice hoarse. What have you done to him?" "Relax, baby," Leon drawled. "He's not dead, just passed out." "You did it on purpose?" Suddenly, I was very certain my guess was right. "You urged him to buy the tequila because you planned to get him drunk, so that you could sneak in here and get into bed with his wife?" "I didn't have to sneak. I told you that he owes me." I backed up in alarm. "There's a difference between money and sex. There's a difference between sex and making love," Leon said softly, "and I plan on making love to you." His conceit astounded me. I said coldly, "Get out." Neither did I believe that Mitch agreed to this ridiculous arrangement. I'm sure Leon would love for me to think it, though, since it would be to his advantage. Before I realized he moved, he grabbed me around the waist and toppled me onto the bed. I struggled, pushing at him. Maybe I should have screamed, but I think I was too embarrassed. I started crying. He was up and off the bed in an instant. Don't cry, don't cry." He sounded remarkably sober then. "I wasn't trying to rape you. I just kept on crying. I was ashamed and humiliated by what nearly happened. What if Mitch finds out? What if Mitch believes that I came on to Leon?" "Look," Leon said, "I was telling the truth when I said that Mitch okayed this. He owes me big time." I refused to acknowledge him. "No, I thought, Mitch would never agree to offer his wife in place of money. The nasty thought crept in, and I couldn't shake it after that. I know people do really stupid things when they're drunk. I was absolutely certain, though, if Mitch did agree, he wasn't fully aware of it. I stiffened when Leon's hand closed over my shoulder, but he let go almost immediately. I'm sorry, Renee. I guess I misunderstood you. I thought you felt the attraction between us, so I found a way we could act on it without you compromising your principles. If I wasn't so upset, I might have laughed at his absurd explanation, as if getting Mitch's permission would make it any less of an act of adultery. Just leave me alone, I mumbled. Okay, I will, but I just want you to know that I still find you immensely attractive. So if you ever go, I shouted recklessly. If Mitch were awake, he couldn't have failed to hear me that time. Finally, I heard the door open and close. I was alone with my thoughts. I started thinking about what Leon said. What if he's telling the truth about Mitch? What if I don't know Mitch? After I felt that I gave Leon plenty of time to leave the house, I got up and crept from our bedroom. The light in the dining room was still on, as well as the living room lamp beside the sofa. The yellowish glow revealed Kinsley passed out on the couch, snoring softly. Chris, our esteemed sheriff, was sound asleep, sitting upright in the easy chair beside the sofa. Ross, the sheriff's brother-in-law, was sprawled on the carpet between the dining room and the living room. I had to step carefully around him. I found Mitch at the dining room table, his head cradled on his arms. He obviously passed out. I moved closer, my nose wrinkling at the strong smell of tequila. Empty shot glasses littered the table. The huge jug of tequila lay empty on its side, amongst the scattered poker chips and empty snack bags. Gently, I shook him. Mitch, Mitch, wake up, darling, and come to bed. He groaned but didn't open his eyes. I shook him harder. Mitch, get up and come to bed. You'll get a crick in your neck if you sleep here all night. I pulled on his arm, wrestling him to his feet. He didn't open his eyes, but he began to walk with me, or stumble, rather. Once in our bedroom, I undressed him and shoved him onto the bed, and then I went to look up the house. I didn't want to take any chances of Leon returning. The next morning, I would confront Mitch about Leon's accusations. I prayed to God that Leon was lying. Mitch was still asleep when I awoke a few hours later. It was daylight, and according to my bedside clock, nearly 7. My eyes felt sore and gritty, and my mouth tasted nasty. By the time I came fully awake, the entire ugly night came back to me. I turned to look at Mitch. He lay on his back, his mouth slack and open, his left arm flung above him on the pillow. As I watched, he frowned in his sleep. He probably already has a hell of a headache, I thought. I slipped out of bed to go make coffee. The others were already gone, locking the back door after them. It wasn't the first time the guys were too drunk to go home at night, and I figured it wouldn't be the last. As long as they didn't get sick on my carpet, I didn't really care. I'd much rather have drunks sleeping in my living room than to have their deaths on my conscience. When the coffee was made, I poured 2 mugs and returned to the bedroom, sitting on the bed beside Mitch. I shook him. Hey, wake up and smell the coffee. Slowly, he opened his eyes. They were horribly bloodshot. What time is it? He asked, rubbing his eyes. Pushed himself up to a sitting position and reached for his coffee. "It's 7. I waited patiently for him to come to full alertness. "How did I get to bed?" "I carried you." I smiled to show that I was joking. "You walked or stumbled with my help." "Oh," Mitch's smile was sheepish, "my head splitting open," he said, still smiling, "and I think I need to puke." Mitch is like that. Very seldom does anything get him down, even hellish hangovers. And like a typical man, he sounded almost proud of his condition. "We drank that prissy guy under the table," he announced. My smile faded. "Did you empty his pockets, too?" Frowning, Mitch finally shook his head. "No, I think he beat the crap out of me." His frown deepened. He began to look at me with faint suspicion. "I don't remember." "Are you certain you don't remember, Mitch?" I asked softly. "Because Leon said you owed him big time." "When did he tell you that?" "When he came to collect." When Mitch continued to look blank, I sighed. Mitch is never able to lie to me, and I knew then that he wasn't faking. He really didn't remember, which didn't tell me what I needed to know. Did he or did he not sell me in a poker game? "Why would he come to you for money?" Mitch asked, clearly puzzled. I told him I would get him the money Monday, when the banks open, or at least I think I did. My gaze never wavered from his. "That's not what Leon said. He said that you told him he could have me instead of money." Mitch looked as if someone just punched him. "He said what? You mean he, did he?" He muttered a four-letter curse I seldom hear hear him use, slamming his empty coffee cup onto the nightstand so hard that he cracked the pottery. "Honey, I swear to you that I would never do something like that." His bloodshot gaze narrowed on my face. "Did he put the move on you?" I nodded, knowing I had to get out in the it had to get out in the open, and I had to tell him everything. "He seemed to think he had your permission." Another four-letter curse blasted my ears. Mitch pushed me from the bed and then got up. He reached for his pants on the floor, his expression thunderous. "I'll show that bastard what happens when someone messes with my wife." I put a hand on Mitch's arm. His muscles were clenched and rock hard. "Don't, Mitch. I think we settled it." Mitch stiffened. "How? Just how did you settle it, Renee?" It was now or never. If I didn't tell him, someone else might. Then he'd wonder why I didn't. "Mitch, I met Leon Garrett yesterday at the grocery store. We talked for a bit." My gaze fell from Mitch's. He was flirting with me, and I think I may have given him the wrong impression. "There, I told Mitch about my part in this whole ugly scenario." "Why didn't you tell me yesterday when I was talking about Leon?" There was no accusation in Mitch's question, just a big dose of hurt. I think I would have preferred the accusation. I swallowed hard. Because I felt guilty, I guess, for talking to him and for feeling flattered that he was flirting with me. "Nothing wrong with feeling flattered, Renee." But I could tell by his voice that there was something wrong with it. He was hurt by my confession. I felt miserable all over again. "Mitch, I love you, and only you. Leon's younger, and I think that's why I was flattered." "Very seriously," Mitch said, "Renee, you may be 46, but you look 36. A man like Leon is bound to notice." His scowl returned, "but he still needs to know that he can't mess with my wife." He jerked up on his shirt and began to fasten it. "I'm not mad at you for feeling flattered, but I'm mad at him for trying to take advantage of it." I know Mitch well enough to know that I couldn't stop him. He was bound and determined to confront Leon Garrett and give him a piece of his mind, warn him away from his woman. And yes, the woman in me was relieved because Mitch's uncharacteristic show of jealousy proved to me that Leon lied. I felt ashamed that I ever doubted my husband in the first place. Be careful, I told him, and don't get into a fight. He's a deputy, after all. Yeah, well, I don't think Chris likes him. Then why did he hire him? Mitch struggled as he sat on the edge of the bed and pulled on his boots. Hired him sight unseen, doing an old buddy a favor or something like that. After Mitch left, I tried to keep busy cleaning up the mess left from the poker game and dumping ashtrays, but my mind kept straying back to the situation. What if Leon lies to Mitch like he lied to me? What if he convinces Mitch that I invited him to our bedroom? I shook my head, telling myself that I was being ridiculous. Within 30 minutes, I heard Mitch's truck pull onto our drive. The back door slammed, making me jump. I braced myself, but it was soon apparent that my tears were groundless. Mitch came into the kitchen, whistling and smiling. "Didn't get to talk to him," he announced, "because he went back to Chicago." He grunted. "Guess he found out we aren't the dumb hicks he thought we are." He caught me in his arms and swung me around, laughing as I squealed. Obviously, his hangover got better. "Mitch, put me down," I pleaded. He did, slowly, so that my body slid the length of his. His expression grew serious as he looked into my eyes. "Guess I should tell you more often how pretty you are." When I started to shake my head, he stopped me. "No, it's true. I'm the luckiest man on earth because I have you, and the dumbest son of a gun alive for not telling you that every day." But he was telling me then, and that's all that matters. Okay, well, that is the end of that story, and that's going to do it for this edition of the Romance Program. As always, thank you so much for listening. This has been Volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. Have a great week, and take care of yourselves, and I will talk to you later. Take care. Bye-bye.